This is Matt. I'm the lead pastor at Westminster Baptist Church. Thanks for engaging God's word with us. My prayer for you is that this would be supplemental to your discipleship journey. If we can connect you with a local church or discipleship group, please contact us at info@discoverwbc.com.
So I don't know if God is going to change your situation, but I know that God has called you to be faithful in the midst of it. God didn't change Noah's situation. The world was still flooded. People still drowned. Joseph watched his family and nation hit with a famine. Rahab watched her city fall. I don't know if God's going to change your situation, but I know that God has called you to faithfulness in the midst of it. Jesus was headed to Jerusalem, and God didn't change his situation. He called him to be faithful in the midst of the cross. He called his disciples to be faithful when Paul was shipwrecked, when Peter was crucified. I don't know if God's going to change your situation, but I know that God has called you to be faithful in the midst of it. And Hebrews chapter 6 through chapter 10 tells us that if we do not stay faithful, we are in the spot where we could lose, or at least had never had, that salvation. You see, because when our eyes are set on our situation, we forget that God has promised us a different situation, but that might not be to change what's happening today. It might just to be faithful for what can come tomorrow, because God has promised you heaven, not perfected earth right now. Maybe your situation never changes, but I know that God has something else in store for you. This isn't the end. So I want you to look really quick with me as we draw back to move forward. We're going to go through all of chapter 11 this morning. But before we do, I want to show you Hebrews chapter 10, 11, and 12 zoomed out. Chapter 10, essentially, as we read it last week, says, If we do not remain faithful, we'll not have that salvation that we once wanted, desired, or going for. Now, we're not working out all the intricacies of that today. Here's what I want you to end with, though. Here's what the last verse says. But we are not those who draw back and are destroyed, but those who have faith and are saved. Hebrews chapter 10, we are not the ones who are going to draw back and are destroyed, who abandon our faith in the midst of our situation because it's too tough. We're not the ones who draw back and are destroyed. We're the ones who have faith and are saved. And in Hebrews chapter 11, he's going to give you 11 different stories of people who did not draw back and were destroyed, but instead had faith and were saved. Hebrews chapter 11 is approving the faith of faithful people in the midst of difficult situations where God did not change their situation, but instead called them to the faithfulness in the middle of it, and they never even saw the reality of what they believed. They just hoped and trusted that one day God would fulfill it. Hebrews chapter 12 then comes and shows us that what they longed for and desired can be found in Jesus. It says in verse 2, keeping our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, for the joy that lay before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. He is the perfecter of our faith. Hebrews 10, we struggle with faith. Hebrews 11, here's 11 stories of people with faith. Hebrews 12, here is the one who can perfect that faith that has struggled. So I want to read Hebrews chapter 11 with you, and my main point for you this morning is that in whatever situation you face today, that you will live by faith as we wait for the reality of what God has promised us. This is so counterintuitive to what the world has taught you. As you go into Hebrews chapter 11, remember this, the world is going to teach you that we live by faith in our situation. If our situation is good, then we will be joyful. If our situation is bad, then we will be angry. If our situation is good, then we'll have hope that our future is going to be good. If our situation is bad, then we'll believe that our future is going to be bad. If our situation is good, then we'll believe that we can make it financially, make it relationally, make it in our family, make it with our kids, make it with our parents. We can make it if our situation is good, but that's not what Scripture teaches us. Scripture doesn't teach us that we should live by faith because of our situation. Scripture teaches us that in our situation, we should live by faith. So I want to show you 11 stories. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith is the reality of what is hoped for, the proof of what is not seen. For by this our ancestors were approved. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was made from things that are not visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, he was approved as a righteous man because God approved his gifts. And even though he is dead, he still speaks through his faith. By faith, Enoch was taken away, and so he did not experience death. He was not to be found because God took him away. For before he was taken away, he was approved as one who pleased God. Now, without faith, it is impossible to please God, since the one who draws near to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. By faith, Noah, after he was warned about what was not yet seen and motivated by godly fear, built an ark to deliver his family. By faith, he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed and set out for a place that he was going to receive his inheritance. He went out, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he stayed as a foreigner in the land of promise, living in tents as Isaac and Jacob, co-heirs of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundation, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, even Sarah herself, when she was unable to have children, received power to conceive offspring, even though she was past the age, since she considered that the one who had promised was faithful. Therefore, from one man, in fact, from one as good as dead, came offspring as numerous as the stars of the sky and as innumerable as the grains of the sand along the seashore. These all died in faith, although they had not received the things that were promised. But they saw them from a distance, greeted them, and confessed that they were foreigners and temporary residents on the earth. Now, those who say such things make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they were thinking about where they came from, they would have had an opportunity to return. But they now desire a better place, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. He received the promises, and yet he was offering his one and only son, the one to whom it had been said, "Your offspring will be traced through Isaac." He considered God to be able to even raise someone from the dead. Therefore, he received him back, figuratively speaking. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning these things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph, and he worshipped, leaning on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, as he was nearing the end of his life, mentioned the exodus of the Israelites and gave instructions concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, after he was born, was hidden by his parents for 3 months because they saw that the child was beautiful and they didn't fear the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter and chose to suffer with the people of God rather than enjoy the fleeting pleasure of sin. For he considered reproach for the sake of Christ to be greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, since he was looking ahead to the reward. By faith, he left Egypt behind, not being afraid of the king's anger, for Moses persevered as one who sees him who is invisible. By faith, he instituted the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch the Israelites. By faith, they crossed the Red Sea as they were on dry land. When the Egyptians attempted to do this, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after being marched around by the Israelites for 7 days. By faith, Rahab the prostitute welcomed the spies in peace and didn't perish with those who disobeyed. And what more can I say? Time is too short for me to tell you about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who by faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched the raging of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, gained strength in weakness, became mighty in battle, and put foreign armies to flight. Women received their dead raised to life again. Other people were tortured, not accepting release so that they might gain a better resurrection. Others experienced mockings and scourgings as well as bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawed in two. They died by the sword. They wandered about in sheepskin and goatskin, destitute, afflicted by, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and on mountains, hiding in caves and holes in the ground. All these were approved through their faith, but they did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us, so that they would not be made perfect without us. I don't know if God's going to change your situation, but I know God is calling you to live faithful.
Bye.
In whatever situation you face, live by faith as we wait for the reality of what is hoped for. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 and 2. Faith is the reality of what is hoped for. Now, what is hope for? See, that's important because we have faith in a lot of different things in this world. You know, remember, if you get that backwards, we will say is, I will live by faith in my situation. And then there, now you know what you hope for. You hope that your situation is good enough to get you through. You hope that your situation is good enough to bring you joy. You hope that you have enough to make you happy. You hope that things go well enough to make it good. If you have faith in your situation, then your life is dictated by the situation. So today I'm going to be good if my situation is good. Today I'm going to be good if this is okay, if they're okay, if I'm okay. I'm going to be better because my situation is okay. But you see, faith is in the is the reality of what you hope for. It's what is hoped for. So what do you hope for? Do you hope for heaven or do you hope for earth? Do you hope for Jesus or do you hope for a political leader to save you? Do you hope for Jesus in heaven or do you hope for somebody to come and provide what you need? Do you hope for Jesus or do you hope that one day your family will be all right? Do you hope for Jesus or do you hope that one day your finances will be okay? Do you hope for Jesus or do you hope that one day your spouse will be more loving? Do you hope for Jesus or do you hope that one day you'll be able to prevail over that sin that you're frustrated with? Do you hope for Jesus? What do you hope for? Because whatever you hope for is what you'll have faith in. Faith is the reality of what is hoped for. And if you hope for heaven, you hope for Jesus, then today your reality won't be your situation. Your reality will be your Savior. What do you hope for? Faith is the reality of what is hoped for, and it's also the proof of what is not seen. So I get to see, I get to know, I get to believe what others can't see. So the way I live, the way I think, the way I operate in the midst of my situation might not make sense to people who can't see what I see. So today, are you operating by what people think you should do or by what you see that others can't see? When people see you, they go, man, you should be mad. You should be sad, of course. Why wouldn't you be? Man, you should get rid of them in your life. You should stop talking to them. You should. Or, no, I see something different than you see. I'm not going to let my situation dictate my life because my God dictates my life, because my hope dictates my life. And my hope is not what in you hope for. My hope is in for something greater than what you can see. Faith is the proof of what is not seen to others. And then 11 stories of people who saw what others couldn't see and hoped for what others didn't hope for. Like Abel and Enoch and Noah. Noah who believed that God had something else when he watched the rest of the world drown. Because he saw something they couldn't see, believed something they didn't believe. Abraham, who for tons of his life, till his old age, could not have a child. And struggled and had unbelief and wrestled with it. Knew that God had something else. Not in a moment, not in every single moment, not when he was struggling the most, not when he was most in his depression or most in his denial, but instead when he believed God, that's the capture. That's the moment they capture for chapter 11. And they put it in here and they let us see it on display. That's Abraham. Just for that moment. And Sarah, who struggled and three times in her biggest moments in Scripture, she was in denial of what God had promised her, and yet God remained faithful to her, and God brought out the good. See the faith of Sarah? But we saw so much unbelief. What about Isaac who manipulated or Jacob who manipulated? Nope, they're in here because they had faith. Because it's a story of faith, not a moment of faith. And your life is a story, not a moment. You see, faith is a story, not a moment. If you ever thought in your life, well, Matt, I believed in Jesus when I was 8 years old. No, you may have had a moment where you thought you believed in Jesus. I want to know, have you believed in Jesus? I want to know that time in your life where you struggled the most and then you came up out of it because God brought you up out of it. That's your faith story. Belief is not a moment. Belief is a story. It's your life. It's everything you did when you struggled, when you were farthest from Christ and he drew you back and you can remain faithful. I praise God that it's a story, not a moment, because can you imagine if God judged you for your worst moments? Can you imagine if our faith was based on the most difficult season you faced? That situation you're in right now. We're not judged by that. Isn't it amazing? Isn't it beautiful that God pulled out the best of Abraham, the best of Sarah, the best of Isaac, the best of Jacob, the best of Joseph, the best of Moses. Moses was a guy who was afraid to go talk to Pharaoh, even though God had shown up to him in the middle of a bush burning. And he was afraid to go talk to Pharaoh. But God didn't talk about that story in here. God talked about the faithfulness of Moses. And you may be sitting in here today and you're like, Matt, I heard Hebrews 6 through 10, and I feel like there's no way I could be that faithful. I can't live like that. I can't be as perfect as what this passage seems to be saying to me. Guys, this is Abraham, Moses, and Noah. They struggled and they wrestled, and yet God pulled out the good for them. You know why? Because my God is so gracious and merciful that he's forgiven their sin and brought out their good and says, look at them. So what do you think he's doing for you? In the middle of the situation you face, the difficulty you face today, surrounded by difficult decisions and pain all throughout your life, do you think God's pulling out the worst of you? Nah, because he is a gracious and merciful God and he loves you. One day he's going to look at you and he's going to say, Tim Noor, I saw your faithfulness. As you say, Garrett Vandervalk, I saw your faithfulness. He's going to look at you guys and he's going to see your faithfulness, not your struggle. Because Hebrews 11 shows us 11 people who struggled, and yet God uses them as examples of faith. Why? Because it was their story, not their moment. And that story is approving, because in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 and 2, and at the very end, it says they were approved through their faith. It was approved through their faith, not their actions, but their faith. And praise God that it was not their actions, but their faith, because we're not now being judged by our actions, but instead what motivates those actions. So I want to ask you, are you being motivated by faith? Are you being motivated by fear? Are you being motivated by your situation? Are you being motivated by faith? Because when we have faith that is situated in heaven, not on earth, what we do is we start to get motivated by heaven. I'm not afraid of the day. I'm not afraid of the situation I face. Because I'm looking for heaven, not earth. I'm not afraid of the flood that's coming. I trust my God, said Noah. I'm not afraid of the famine. I trust my God, said Joseph. You see, we're thinking like heaven, not like earth in our faith. And so it's motivating our actions so that we're not going to be judged by our actions. But what is motivating our actions? Because every single person in this room is going to face a situation, but you're not facing the same situation. So we can't look around at each other and be like, man, your situation's not as bad as mine, or this is how you should act in your situation. No, we can look at each other and say, there's no action, there's no situation that is bonding us together. What bonds us together is our faith. What bonds us together is this decision as a church body, brothers and sisters in Christ who love one another, to say, we're going to live by faith. No matter what our situation is, no matter how bad it is or good, you know, good it is. You may say, I feel like I'm living on the mountaintop. You may feel like I'm living in the valley. No matter where you are, we've all chosen in this room that we're going to live by faith. So all of our actions are going to be motivated by faith. And now we can be united together, not by what we do, but by what we believe. So Hebrews 11 is good news for us today, because we get to see stories of people who did persevere in their faith. And they happen to be people like you and I. People who were broken and imperfect and struggled with their faith. There were times of unbelief, and yet God used them as the picture of faith. It's so reassuring today to know that in the midst of your situation, maybe God is going to use you as a picture of faithfulness to somebody else. Because we are imperfect people living by faith, and Jesus is perfecting our faith. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. He is the author, perfecter of our faith. So I want you this morning to be thinking about this. If God doesn't change your situation, will you be faithful? Are you praying for God to change your situation, or are you praying for God to help you remain faithful? Right? God might not heal. God might not change them. God might not move that mountain you see in front of you. God might not change the United States of America the way you want him to. God might not put the political leader you want in place. God might not change your finances. God might not change your car. God might not change your house. God might not change your friendship. God might not change your job. God might not give you a new job. God might not do all those things. But in the middle of it, will you still be faithful? Because our promise is not that God is going to change our situation. Our promise is that heaven's coming. That is Christian faith. That's what makes us different than the world. I'm not asking, is God going to change my situation? I'm going to ask, God, will you help me to be faithful in the midst of my situation? And if you do, and if you change my situation, my God, I will praise you for the rest of my life. And if you don't, my God, I will praise you for the rest of my life, because it's not based on if you change my situation. It's based on, I know that you are promising a future and a hope for me that is different than my situation one day. So today I can live faithful, because tomorrow I know your promises. I know they ring true. And did you see the end of this chapter? This is faith, that they never saw the promises come true. They never saw the promises come true, yet they remained faithful to the end. But we have. We have the stories. We have them passed on from generation to generation, waking up dead lives into life, bringing back dead churches to life, bringing back nations to life. God has been using people and restoring people since Jesus Christ raised from the dead to show and prove that what he did was true and real. We have it written down in documentation. We get to see, they get to see what happened when Jesus Christ lived on the earth, died on the cross, and raised from the dead. We saw the promises become reality when Jesus took upon himself all of our sin and shame so that I don't have to live in that sin and shame. We saw it as a reality. What they never saw as a reality, only believed as a reality, because they knew they could hope that God would restore what they could not restore themselves in their situation on earth. And God can change your life, not because of your situation, but because of his son, Jesus Christ, who is the reality that we can believe in today. Now, let me challenge you with something today. Today, will you believe? Will you believe in Jesus? Not in your situation. Not in your strength to overcome your situation. Will you believe that Jesus will save? Jesus has a better way. Jesus can give you hope when there's no hope. Joy when there's no joy. Because Jesus endured the worst. You see, that's why. That's why we can believe that when Jesus says he can give you joy in the midst of your pain, it's true. Because Palm Sunday, today, Palm Sunday, Jesus knew Good Friday was coming. And he didn't back down, because he loves you. He knows what it's like to have joy despite the cross. Hope despite the cross, because the resurrection was coming on Sunday. He knew where he was going. He knew what he was doing, and he was willing to do it for you and me. Palm Sunday is about anticipation. They were waiting. They were longing for Good Friday and for the restoration of Israel. And Jesus comes on Sunday and it's restored, resurrected to the right hand of God so that he can reign over all things. They knew what was coming to you. Do you believe that Good Friday and resurrection is coming? You may be facing Good Friday today for your life. You may be facing persecution, pain, hurt, depression, denial. You may be struggling. Jesus was rejected by everybody. Maybe you feel like that today. But remember, Sunday's coming. Resurrection is coming. And I'm going to live different in my situation today because I know Sunday's coming. As the band comes forward, I want to give you a couple ways that you can live this out. It's going to be a little bit different than normal, but I want to challenge you to this because of what Christ has done for you. Because he lived the life we couldn't live by faith. Because he died on the cross by faith. And because he was raised from the dead, as Romans 1 says, by faith, he was raised from the dead. If all these things are true, I want to challenge you to respond in this way. Okay? We're going to take truths and we're going to move them into living by faith. We're going to take faith statements, momentary faith statements, I believed when I was. We're going to turn that into I'm living by faith. Okay? Here's a I believe statement. I believe that God will provide. Here's a living by faith statement. I will give in excess to those in need. Because I'm saying, God, I trust you, so I'm going to give. I'm going to give in excess to those who are in need around me in my community. I believe God will help people. He's a father to the fatherless. He cares about those who are without. I believe that God will help people. Here's a living by faith statement. God, use me to help them. Be with me to help them. I believe this. God is sovereign. It's a true statement. It's a faith statement. I believe that God is sovereign over the world. Here's a living by faith. I will praise him when the world is awful. I will praise him when this world looks broken. I'm going to praise him no matter what because my God is sovereign. Here's a faith statement. God is merciful. Here's how to live by faith. I will extend myself and others excessive amounts of mercy because God has extended me an abundance of mercy. I'm going to extend it to others and to myself. I'm going to live by faith, not just proclaim faith. I believe that God is patient, so I'm going to extend patience. I believe that God is perfect, so I'm going to trust that his plan is good and that I'm going to follow after it. I believe his plan is good, so I'm going to follow after it. My God is perfect. It's not just a statement. I'm going to live it. Brothers and sisters, this week, I want you, facing your situation, to consider, are you looking at the situation or are you looking at the Savior? Are you proclaiming truth statements or are you living those truth statements? Have you said, I believe? Or you said, I will walk by faith. Let me pray for you. Father, help us to walk by faith. Help us, like these 11, to trust, not in what we see, but in what is unseen. I pray with Abraham and Sarah that even though they left when they couldn't see, they trusted that what they would see was heaven, not the things of this world. God, would you change our hearts? Would you change our minds? Would you help us to do exactly what you've called us to do? Would you help us to see heaven, not our situation? Praising your son's name. Amen.
You have any questions about the sermon or would like to know more about following after Jesus, please contact us and we would love to talk more about your relationship with Christ and how you can grow in your spiritual journey.